Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Inner Growth Podcast. I am so excited you're listening today. Thank you so much for tuning in, hanging out with me, and finding a new way to pour into yourself today. Today, we're going to be talking about the concept of self-trust because it's something that's been popping up a lot in my coaching calls, and I feel like it's a very important topic overall when it comes to your inner growth journey. So I kind of want to dive into that, how you can develop more self-trust, some of the things I have learned from my own journey and also through my client work. So I hope that it will be informative and helpful and it will just fuel your mindset today. And before we dive into the juicy part of this episode and into this topic, I just kind of wanted to fill you guys in on my life, do a couple life updates because I feel like we haven't chatted in a little bit. And if you've been watching my YouTube channel and following along on socials, maybe you've kind of gotten a glimpse, but I feel like in talking directly to you guys, I can fill you in on maybe a little bit more realness. But essentially, I feel like if I was to summarize this phase of my life, I would say that I am truly learning to put myself first and to implement balance more and more and more. And that is because I feel like 2024 for me has been a year with a lot going on and a lot of competing priorities that demand my time. So in the earlier part of this year, obviously, it was a lot about wedding planning and spending my time putting together our wedding, talking to everyone involved in this event, and spending a lot of my bandwidth on that. And after I came back from the wedding, things have really picked up with work for me in an amazing way. I'm super grateful. And because of that, you know, I've had a lot of projects going on, a lot of collaborations, a lot of events. And on top of that, still a lot of travel. I've mentioned in a couple of the last episodes that I went to Copenhagen in Sweden, got back, and then I'm leaving for my honeymoon in 2 weeks. Once I get back from that in November, I'm traveling to Brazil. Then I'm going to see my family for Thanksgiving. And then it's the end of the year holidays and then it's 2025. So I have had to just kind of find different ways to pour into myself and into my self-care and into my habits and routines without as much structure as I would be able to have if I was just kind of like in New York for most of this end of the year. Because of that, I've just had to find different ways to slot in self-care without it being the same every single day, without it needing to be perfect. And the truth is that there's so much pulling me in so many different directions, whether it's travel, whether it's work, whether it's social life, that if I just let that kind of dictate my day to day, I honestly wouldn't be going to the gym. I would not be having time to cook for myself. I would not be able to prioritize my self-care. And so I've just had to be very intentional about making it a priority and just doing the thing and not thinking too much about it. Like yesterday, I had a crazy day. I did so much work. I filmed a bunch of recipes and I had client calls. I had a briefing call, all this stuff going on. And come at the end of the day at like 7 p.m., there was a part of me that was just like, oh, you know what? I had an intense day. Like I might as well eat dinner and relax for the rest of the night. But I knew that I had wanted to go to the gym that day. And I had told myself that I was gonna go. And I just had to push through the comfort zone of staying home and saying whatever and just go. And that actually ties in a lot with today's topic, which is self-trust. And so I do feel like this is something that I'm kind of developing right now in my journey too. It's like trusting myself, keeping my word to myself, and just doing the damn thing. So I ended up going and I felt really great. I felt really proud of myself for just showing up and doing something, even if it was like 30 to 40 minutes, it felt amazing. And that's just kind of been my motto this year. And I kind of forgot about it when I got back from the wedding and I got back from Sweden, because it kind of ended up falling to that, like, oh, you know, I'm so busy, I don't have time for this. And I just had to realize, you know what? No, this is just what I have to do. I just have to push through and find time and make time, prioritize it. And I did a little kind of like a birth chart reading earlier this year. I do this every year now because I found an astrologer that I love. And it's basically called an annual return reading. It's a chart of the moment that the sun this year returns to your natal chart sun. So it's like the exact day of your birthday, you have a specific chart. And if you look at that chart and you know how to read it, it can kind of give clues into what the focus should be for this upcoming year of your life. And this astrologer is just so good. So I've done 2 years in a row with her. And this was one of the things she told me that really resonated with me was, it's going to be a jam-packed year, and if you don't prioritize yourself, you're going to come last. And if you get caught up too much in like socializing and like wasting time on things, you're not going to have enough time for what's important. So being really mindful with how I spend my time has been something I'm learning a lot and a big focus for me in 2024. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. We leave for our honeymoon in a little over a week when this episode goes live. And I'm just excited. It's gonna be so beautiful. And I'm also making a commitment to myself and a promise that I'm going to keep to myself that during our honeymoon, I'm not gonna be thinking about work. Yes, I'll take some pictures, I'll post a couple photo dumps, but for the most part, I just decided I'm not gonna vlog. I deserve to be completely present and enjoy it. And I also am just gonna make sure to have a podcast episode ready to go live that week and have, you know, some content to post, but do this before I leave and just focus on enjoying our time together, because you only go on a honeymoon that's really cool and really special once in your life, hopefully. And so I just want to make sure that I'm just really soaking it up. So that's where I'm at. That's a little bit of a life update. So now let's jump into talking a bit more about self-trust and my advice on how to develop it into your own inner growth journey, and also just kind of what's helped me and my clients to tap into it more. So with all of that said, let's get into it. I'll see you guys on the other side, and let's get growing. Okay, let's talk about self-trust. This is an important topic, and it's a topic that I have become very passionate about, because truly, if we just break it down and let's just look up the exact definition of self-trust. Self-trust definition. If I type on Google, this is like the AI overview that Google gives me. It says, self-trust is the belief in one's abilities, character, and judgment. And it also says it's a synonym for self-confidence. So if you're someone who is working on your confidence and you're wanting to become a more confident, badass version of yourself, learning to trust yourself is an essential component of the journey. And the thing about self-trust to me is that it just boils down into keeping your word to yourself. If you say you're gonna do something, keeping that promise, owning up to that decision that you made, and showing up for yourself, showing up for that thing. If you say, I'm gonna go to the gym today, and you go to the gym that day, you are strengthening your self-trust. So to me, one of the most important elements of developing self-trust is keeping the promises that you make to yourself. And a lot of people I have heard on social media and in different quotes say that that's confidence, right? Confidence is knowing that you will keep your own promises to yourself. And also, you know, with self-trust, it also ties into knowing that you have your own back, knowing that you are on your own side, knowing that you deserve the best. And you are committed to giving that to yourself, that you are committed to showing up as your best self and doing the things that make you feel like your best self, because you're on your side, you're on your team. And that's a really powerful thing. to develop and to show up in and to enhance in your life. And it's not something that comes naturally sometimes, right? Because a lot of the times we self-sabotage or we make ourselves the last priority and we put everyone else above us and we want to help everyone else and we want to do all the things we need to do for work and then we just don't prioritize our needs. So an element of self-trust is finding the time to nourish yourself and having your own back. And I want to dive into something that I think is very underrated when it comes to building self-trust. I saw something on social media. I don't remember if it was TikTok, Instagram, what it was, but this person was just commenting on this experience of overthinking, over-worrying, and preparing yourself for the worst case scenario. And I think a lot of us, especially if you are a perfectionist or if you are someone who maybe struggles a little bit with anxiety or if you're very type A, we think that worrying about all the worst case scenarios is preparing us to deal with them when they happen. So we spend all this mental energy, all this emotional energy thinking, okay, but what if this happens? What if that happens? What would I do? How can I prepare myself for that possibility coming true? And we waste all this time in anxiety mode and thinking about these what ifs that might not even happen. And we think that in doing that, we are preparing ourselves to deal with the possibility of failure, of judgment, of discomfort, of sadness, of whatever it is. But the truth is that one, that might not even happen. So you're wasting all this time for nothing. Maybe the best case scenario will happen and you have spent all this time and energy preparing for something that wasn't even worth your time. And number two, when you are worrying and overthinking and getting caught up in these what ifs, you are basically signaling to yourself that you don't trust your future self to handle it. That you don't have enough trust that future you is capable, is strong, and is resilient enough to handle whatever happens, whatever comes up. And so if you're trying to develop self-trust and self-confidence, one of the most important things you can address in your life right now is your tendency to overthink and over-worry. And instead of wasting all this time worrying and worrying about all the what ifs, use your energy in the present moment to visualize the best case scenario, the ideal situation, how good it would feel if things turn out amazing. And do all this visualizing and this intention setting and use your energy in this way with the knowledge that if the worst case scenario happens, if a problem comes up, if a slip up happens, if something doesn't go as planned, future you, she's got this. She's strong. She will have your back. She will be able to handle it. And you can rest assured that that will be the case. And as you start to shift into this energy, you will start to develop more self-trust. You will start to feel more confident in yourself because you know that you are resilient and badass and you will be able to handle it, whatever happens. And that will take you away from worrying too much about the future and getting caught up in anxiety and stress. And instead, it will help you shift into more ease, more peace, and just more presence as well. So that's something extremely powerful that I'm so happy we started this episode off on. And now I want to talk about 7 ways to build self-trust. And it's based off of this diagram that I found on the internet, and it's from the Millennial Therapist on Instagram, and it's just 7 different ways to build self-trust. So we're gonna dive into each one, and as I go through these 7 ways, I want you to check in with yourself and rank from 1 to 5, 5 being the strongest, how much you feel you do these things. And as you do this little ranking, you will also gain clarity on what's most important for you right now in order for you to strengthen your ability to trust yourself. So the first one is speak up for yourself. This means in situations where you need help, where something bothered you, where there's something you need or want, speaking up about it. standing up for yourself and speaking your truth. That's the first one. So again, ask yourself, from 1 to 5, how much do you feel this is true for you? Number 2, set and honor boundaries. This is insanely important because setting boundaries communicates to the people around you what you can and cannot give at that given moment. And it also determines where your energetic field ends and the other person's begins. So if someone crossed your boundaries, if someone said something disrespectful, if someone is overstepping, setting those boundaries and communicating those boundaries shows that you have your own back. And also honoring your boundaries can tie into how you spend your time and honoring your energy and honoring how much you can give to others and what you can't give, right? And how much bandwidth you have at this moment. Because if you're someone who tends to overgive and you tend to people please, this might be a little bit harder for you. And it will just be a continuous work in progress for you to learn how to properly do this. And that's okay. We're all works in progress. We're all humans in progress. So just embrace it and keep doing it, even if it feels uncomfortable. And this can be done in small ways, right? Maybe someone asks you for help on something and usually you would just jump and say yes and you would want to be able to do it, whatever it is. But maybe that day you have a packed schedule and you just don't have the time. It's better for you to say, hey, you know what? My plate is so full right now. I totally wish I could help you. It would be my pleasure to do it. I just can't do it right now. Can we touch base on this next week? Can I help you with this another time? Or maybe you should lean into this resource because that might be helpful. And learning to delegate, learning to not overcommit, that's also setting boundaries. So again, ask yourself from 1 to 5, how does this ring true for you? Is it an area that you need to work on a bit more? Or is it an area of life that comes easily to you? Number 3, validate your feelings and needs. I love this one because I think for women who tend to be a little bit more type A, a little bit more intense, a little bit more perfectionist, this can be a bit of a challenge, right? Because we want to put up a strong front. We want to come across as someone who has everything figured out and has everything squared away all the time. But that can disconnect you a little bit from your divine feminine and from your intuition and from that connection to your emotional state. And so allowing yourself to fully feel your feelings, to cry if you need to let them out is a part of this. But to me, the most important word here is validate. It's turning to yourself and saying, it's okay for me to feel upset about this. It's okay that I feel a little bit angry at this situation. It's okay that I feel frustrated. My feelings are valid. My needs are valid. And when you learn to validate yourself in this way, it becomes easier for you to speak up for yourself. It becomes easier for you to ask for what you need. So this is one of the most important ones. Ask yourself from 1 to 5, where does this stand for you? Number 4 in this list is keep a daily promise. I would say this could also be amplified to keep the promises that you make to yourself. But if we just stick to the original phrasing of this, which is keep a daily promise, this would be tied to, for example, what I was sharing happened yesterday where I woke up and I told myself, I want to make it to the gym today, even if it's for 20 to 30 minutes. And come 7 p.m., I'm tired. I'm about to sabotage that in a way. It's saying, you know what? No, I made this promise to myself. I'm going to go. And keeping that promise. And it's just keeping your word to yourself, right? If you say, oh, today I'm gonna call up my mom and you call your mom, that's keeping a daily promise. If you say, I'm gonna go grocery shopping or I'm gonna go meal prep or I'm gonna go and invest in a coaching program or I'm gonna go and journal today and you do it, that is one of the easiest ways to build more self-trust and self-confidence. So from 1 to 5, where does this stand for you? Number 5. Listen to your body. I love this one too, because this is something that has become very important to me in my own journey. And an example here is like resting when you're tired. And I think this example really hits the spot because this is especially hard for us type A girlies that thrive on being on the go, go, go and being helpful and being productive. Learning to trust yourself And learning to have your own back is also about learning to listen to your body. It's about learning to honor what your body is asking you for. So if you're hungry, it's going and cooking a meal for yourself. If you're thirsty, it's drinking water. If you're tired, it's going and resting. Maybe it's not going to the gym that day, or it's going to bed a little bit earlier. If your body is achy, maybe that means, you know, taking a sick day or taking a bath. It's tuning into what your body is telling you. And I think as women, as we continue to heal our relationship to food and to our body, as we continue to accept ourselves, as we continue to find more gratitude for everything our body does for us, and as we continue to push back on diet culture, listening to our body and tuning into that becomes easier. You will start to understand your body way better. You will start to understand how to tune in with more clarity. And your body will start to communicate with you more clearly as well. And I will say also, after going off of birth control, this also became a lot easier for me because I'm much more tuned in now, like more than 3 years after being off of the pill, with what my body needs in different phases of my menstrual cycle. So I know, you know, if I'm in my luteal phase, my body will need more rest. My body will need more sleep. I need to be more mindful of caffeine. I need to make sure that I'm eating more regular meals, much more than when I'm in my follicular phase. So as you start to learn about your body too, you will start to just kind of know, okay, during this phase of my cycle, I tend to be like this. So then you can show up for yourself and give yourself the thing that you need, because you already know that that's what your body needs during those cycle phases. So from 1 to 5, where does this stack for you? Okay, second to last, number 6, let go of things that no longer serve you. I feel like this one always hits the spot, and this one ties in a lot with self-sabotage, because a lot of the times we will hold on to things, relationships, habits, patterns, situations that don't serve us, that aren't aligned with our present and future self. They might be aligned with who we were in the past. They might be aligned with a previous version of us, but it might not be aligned with who you want to be, with the new best version of yourself that you are growing into. And as you start to learn to let go of these things, you release self-sabotage, because you're not holding on to the things that are hurting you or are not serving you. This could be also limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs are one of the biggest things that block us and keep us in old patterns. So choosing to do affirmations and rewire your brain and rewire how you talk to yourself is also a big part of letting go of what no longer serves you, right? It's like it's letting go of those old stories that you've been telling yourself about your worth and your life, and creating new ones. And there is this one song that goes, I've been losing friends and finding peace. Honestly, this sounds like a fair trade to me. And I think, you know, that's also applicable here, because when you also let go of the people that are no longer aligned with your life, that don't fill your cup up, that aren't supportive, that aren't being the types of friends that you need to surround yourself with to feel your best, as you let go of those people, you're opening up space in your life to call in new aligned relationships. And that can be very hard. I think letting go of friendships and relationships is one of the hardest parts of healing, but you have to trust that it's just creating space for something better. So ask yourself, from 1 to 5, how does letting go of things that no longer serve you feel for you right now? And number 7, engage in positive and supportive self-talk. And you guys know I am an affirmation lover. Affirmations have truly transformed my life. I remember back in 2020 when I had my spiritual awakening, when I was going through a very deep transformative journey. I had started therapy. I had started to meditate. I was really diving into journaling. I was doing shadow work. I was doing courses and reading self-help books and going on walks and dating myself. I remember when I was going through that journey, I came across affirmations for the first time, and I would write them out in little sticky notes. I would glue them in my mirror, and I would read them out loud when I was like naked coming out of the shower. I also had like one big sheet of affirmations that I kept printed out in another mirror in my bedroom. And I would say them every single day. And I remember just doing it and how much it just started to change the things that I was calling in, the ways I was showing up in life. And of course, it feels uncomfortable at first. Of course, it feels unnatural at first. It's not supposed to feel easy right away, especially if you've struggled with a very loud inner critic, if you've been mean to yourself before, if you tend to be judgmental of yourself, or if you tend to think that your abilities are fixed and if you are not good at something, it's your fault. Like, if that's a pattern for you, engaging in supportive and positive self-talk can be challenging, but it can be extremely important. And it will help you trust yourself more, because if you talk kindly to yourself and if you're nice to yourself and if you treat yourself like a friend, that is you having your own back as well, right? It's often way easier for us to be nice and supportive and positive to other people than it is to do that with ourselves, because we can fall to self-blame, self-judgment, all these different things. So doing this work can truly be powerful AF. And I would highly encourage you to start an affirmation practice. I personally write affirmations out on my notebook in my little journal in the morning. I try to do it as frequently as I can. I definitely don't do it every day, even though I want to. And you can also listen to affirmations. If you're looking for some inspiration, I will actually leave a free PDF that I created that has affirmations for a bunch of different things: self-love, body love, food freedom, money, relationships, etc. I'll leave that in the description of this episode. If you want to download it, it's free. It's there for you. And it might just give you some inspiration on different affirmations to integrate and different stories to tell yourself. So again, ask yourself from 1 to 5, how does this feel for you? Does it feel strong? Does it feel like something that comes naturally to you or something you've been already working on? Or is it still an area of growth for you? So now, looking at your little, you know, rankings, try to see like what are the 1 to 3 areas of growth for you that you can lean on right now and focus on those. So I'm just going to quickly run through each one again, and I will maybe give a couple of examples on how you can strengthen this and what you can do to develop this more, right? So 1, speak up for yourself. If someone crosses your boundaries, if someone hurts you, have those difficult conversations, ask for what you need, and don't be afraid to do so. Just try to use your voice and to speak your truth. 2, set and honor boundaries. So be mindful of overcommitting. Stay true to your bandwidth and don't just say yes on autopilot. Maybe give yourself 24 hours before making a commitment that's going to demand a lot from you. Or, you know, if someone crossed your boundaries and said something hurtful, again, speak up for yourself. 3, validate your feelings and needs. So really have those conversations with yourself about, my feelings are valid. It's okay for me to feel this way. It's okay for me to feel sad right now. Let yourself feel it. Let yourself cry. Let yourself move through the feelings instead of pushing them away. Journaling can help a lot here. So like mind dumping. 4, keep a daily promise, or keep the promises you make to yourself. So try to once a day minimum, just do something you say you're going to do. 5, listen to your body. So rest when you're tired, eat when you're hungry, drink water when you're thirsty, etc. 6, let go of the things that no longer serve you. So kind of do a check-in with yourself and say, okay, what right now is not aligning anymore? Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? Is it how you're spending your time? Is it your job? Is it your space? Is it the things that you're wearing? What doesn't serve you anymore? And let go of those things. Surrender a little bit more. 7, engage in positive and supportive self-talk. As I just said, try to start an affirmation practice, or, you know, as you're exercising, as you're walking around, try to say positive things about yourself in your head. And if you catch yourself falling to self-judgment, or you're saying mean things to yourself, catch yourself in that moment and reframe and say something else. So, wow, what a positive and powerful episode. Also, remember what we talked about in the beginning when it comes to self-trust. stopping the pattern of over worrying and instead trusting that your future self has got it and is strong and resilient enough to handle whatever happens in the future is so important too. So don't sleep on that either. But I would be so curious to hear from you guys on what you thought about this episode. So if you enjoyed, please let me know, DM me, or you can leave a comment on Spotify now. And I just hope that you're feeling a little bit better going into the rest of your day. Thank you again so much for listening. I'm very grateful for all of you. You're all amazing, and the Inner Grow family has such a special place in my heart. I am hosting an Inner Growth Wellness Walk this Saturday, and I'm just so excited to meet the Inner Growth community in real life. It's going to be so special, and we're going to this really cute coffee shop called Bedford Studio that has amazing matcha, amazing coffee, and I just can't wait. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that going into the rest of my week, and I hope you can find one thing to look forward to and to be thankful for. So just remember, you are loved. I love you, and thank you so much for listening. I will see you guys next week. And if you guys have any podcast topic requests, feel free to DM me and ask me to make those episodes as well. And it would be my pleasure. So until we chat next week, remember to pour into yourself, and I'll talk to you soon.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.